miracle. Even more and greater, who wants some? Come get some at Vineyard. This is the place where God's glory is just pouring out. And you just, that's just amazing. You get given businesses here, apparently. So put God first.
Yeah.
Fix your eyes on Jesus. Plant yourself. Get grounded in the house of God. And even more and greater is going to be your portion. Amen. I'm going to talk very quickly about hope in relationships today. So Heavenly Father, bless your word. Thank you for the testimonies that have come already. But Lord, we believe for your word to move in power and to touch us right now. In Jesus' name. Everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read from what some may think is a bit of a controversial scripture reading from Mother's Day. But I'm just going to do it anyway because I like sort of, what did you say? Break the rules. So I like doing that sometimes. So 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 to 7. I'm reading from New Living Translation today. And it says this. So in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands.
Yeah.
Gee, I'm being brave saying this in the house of God today. Do you know what's cool though?
Mother's Day too.
I know, on Mother's Day. Maybe you'll throw your roses at me. I don't know. Just bear with me, all right? Bear with me. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Notice it doesn't say every man. Notice that? That just liberated some women right there. It says of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expansive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. Other versions of this use the S word. Can I say the S word in church?
Yeah.
Submissive.
Yeah.
Ooh. Now you're going to start throwing your chocolate bars at me. Submissive. For instance, Sarah obeyed, I'm being brave, I'm serious, this is a step of faith. Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. And all the women said,
yes!
Woohoo! Stew, treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. I'm talking about hope in relationships, and it's all coming from this very exciting scripture that I've chosen today. Now, for the sake of time, I've got a video. When you think of submission, you may think of something like this. I'm not going to let it all play. It goes for 2 minutes. Will I let it go for 2 minutes?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go for 2 minutes. Watch this. You might think submission is this.
Transition right to an excellent submission. Tap to the guillotine.
Also, that type of muscle and power without a little lock. This is it.
Series of fighting, Josh Berkman has certainly found his zen, and he just seems so chill in there. Early on, not the case, and as he goes to work on Fitch. Oh, he stunned him down. Oh, he should have had him in the full guard. He still might pull it up. He's out.
Down with this fire on the ground, bring the fire, make it show. Now under the neck, just a little bit of finish for the upset.
Now, I bet you didn't wake up this morning thinking Mother's Day at Vineyards Christian Church. And we're going to be watching Ultimate Fighter Championship on the big screen and seeing submissions happen just like that. And I probably offended about a dozen people, and I'll get the emails now, but that's all right. Because I'm all about breaking the rules. Breaking the rules, that's submission. I want to ask you this. Does life sometimes feel like it's a competition where you're keeping a mental score of whether or not you're winning? And when you have to give in or submit, it feels like a loss or a failure. Well, this is submission according to the world. To submit and tap out, that's what the world says it is. You're giving up, it's all too hard. The Message Bible of the scripture I read before, I'm going to read it again, and it's 1 Peter 3, 1-7. In the Message Bible it says, "The same goes for you wives. Be good wives to your husbands, responsive to their needs. There are husbands who, indifferent as they are to any words about God, will be captivated by your life of holy beauty. What matters is not your outer appearance, the styling of your hair, the jewelry you wear, the cut of your clothes, but your inner disposition. Cultivate inner beauty, the gentle, gracious kind that God delights in. The holy women of old were beautiful before God that way and were good, loyal wives to their husbands. Sarah, for instance, taking care of Abraham, would address him as my dear husband. You'll be true daughters of Sarah if you do the same, unanxious and unintimidated. The same goes for you husbands. Be good husbands to your wives. Honor them, delight in them. As women, they lack some of your advantages, but in the new life of God's grace, you're equals. Treat your wives then as equals so your prayers don't run aground." We've got to understand that that scripture gets misquoted, abused, used the wrong way far too often. What we have to understand is the cultural portrait of the time of Peter, who wrote this, the cultural portrait of a woman. So a picture of a Jewish mindset of women, the culture of the day when this was written. Women were abused and neglected. Women were basically slaves. They were like property to be used. That's how they were considered in society. They could be divorced super easily by their husbands on flimsy grounds, like just silly little reasons that they could give. And when they were divorced, they would be put on the street with no finances, zero rights to their children. The life of a woman in Peter's day was very challenging and difficult. But then Jesus comes in. Jesus enters the frame. And he starts a cultural revolution and liberates women. He says women are equal to men. And all the women said, "Oh, wow, Jesus, so excited. What, are you nervous? Are you afraid to stand up?" Jesus came and brought about a revolution about females because he values you just as much as the man sitting next to you. And all the women said, "Okay, Jesus." Had me worried there. I'm like, what, women? You want to be submissive and quiet and put the veil over your head? No. Cultural revolution brought by Jesus, men and women are equal. You know, in Peter's day, again, women were objectified. They were lower than a slave, really. Peter is speaking to a group of people who've been used, abused, and dominated, who live in fear of being abused or divorced with nothing and no rights to their children. But I love this scripture, Galatians 3:28. "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We can relate this to all people groups. Let's stop trying to divide and subdivide and LGBTQABCDEFG. Let's stop doing that and let's actually apply that to all people. He is saying you are liberated and you are equal. Well, if you've been, and there might be possibly women in the room or under the sound of my voice that have been used and abused. I acknowledge that. And for as long as you can remember, that's been your lot in life. And you've told you're actually this other person's equal now. And what's the first thing you're going to want to do? So if you've been abused, an abused woman, but all of a sudden you have a revelation from God's word and find out you're equal, the enemy inside you, that's what I'm trying to say, the sinful nature, you want to retaliate. Am I not being truthful? Now, if you've been wronged and pushed down and pressed and all of a sudden you're equal, well, I've got a few things to say now that I've got as equal standing. And the temptation would be there to retaliate, to get them back, to divorce them. Let them live on the street and have no access to the kids. That's what the temptation would be. But that's why this scripture is so God's word, and it's so written in a way that squashes that, because the simple little phrase is used in the same way. So what we've got to realize is when it says in the same way, it says it right at the start of the scripture from the book of 1 Peter that I'm sharing today, we need to look at what is written before that so that we understand what it's talking about. Because it starts with in the same way. Well, in the same way what? We need to go back to the previous scripture. So we're going to do that. 1 Peter 2, 21 to 24 says this: "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we could be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, we are healed." He is saying to the ladies, in the same way, don't do what your natural person wants to do, which is retaliate, lay the smack down like some of those fighters you just saw on the men, get into them and make them submit. That's not what it's about. It says in the same way, instead, don't retaliate, but instead, look to Jesus. And when you look to Jesus, you can now respond in the right way. That's what the Word of God is teaching us today. Christ suffered for you, every single one of you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth, and when they hurled insults at him, he's on the cross, taking the punishment for you and for me, and they're insulting him, he did not retaliate. Instead, he entrusted himself to him, our Heavenly Father, who judges justly. When he suffered, he made no threats. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we've been healed. And two verses later, in 1 Peter chapter 3, where we started our text today, wives, in the same way, that's what it's talking about. Wives, treat your husbands in the same way that Jesus treated those who crucified him. Wow. In the same way, how did Jesus do that? How did he hang on the cross and have abuse and heckling and not respond? He committed no sin. He didn't retaliate. He made no threats, and he trusted his Heavenly Father who judges justly. So wives, in your relationship with your husbands, you need to know that this is what God expects of you. Whoa. Conviction. Don't sin. Don't retaliate. Don't make threats, and trust yourself to your Father who judges justly. I think that's where a lot of us stumble. I think that's where a lot of us are like, well, that person did this thing to me, and I'll tell you what, when I get the opportunity, I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. And we struggle, don't we? We struggle to let God vindicate us because we want revenge. That's our flesh. We want to get them back. We want to say things to them and ridicule them. We want them to experience the same hurt that we're experiencing, because that's what justice is. Nah. Jesus trusted his Heavenly Father, the true judge, to take care of those things. He did not retaliate, verse 23, I'm going to read it again, when he was insulted, nor threatened revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always, everyone say always,
always
judges fairly. We've got to put our trust in the one who's going to sort the stuff out. It's not our job to get revenge. It's not our job to make it right. It's God's job. How can wives submit so confidently to their husbands? The only way to be submissive is to put your hope in God, so that God can have control in your family. That is the only way. You're now moving from law, which is eye for an eye. Well, you can say that's not going to get you. You're moving from that to grace, which is, you know, you're doing all that stuff to me, but God is my vindicator, so I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. He's going to sort it all out. We don't have to have perfect wives or husbands. It's impossible, because no one's perfect. But we have a perfect God, and we need to trust that he judges justly. You know, the word submission, it's voluntary. You're not forced or coerced or beaten to follow a law. You will submit. You're co-heirs, and as co-heirs, you work together to make this work, but not by yourself. You need the grace of God to do this. I want to take this further because this is all about husbands and wives, right? And not everyone in the room is married, and I appreciate that. We're going to look at our relationships with one another, and I'm going to do this really quickly. Psalm 133 is awesome. I think I have three whole verses. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron. I'll just never know that feeling because I'm not allowed to grow a beard. That's sad, isn't it? Should PJ grow a beard?
Yes.
Steve knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. Another Steve that's out there. You know, Joseph, you've got a bit of manly beard. I'm not allowed every 2 days. Don't shave, you're spiking. Anyway, love you, Anita. Happy Mother's Day. So, it's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. Where there is unity, God commands what?
Blessing.
A blessing, a blessing. And in the same way, that's what we're called to be in. We are called to be in unity. And when we're not in unity, the alternative is what? This. Unity. Discord. Discord amongst the brethren. The Bible even talks about that. I haven't got the scripture up there, but the Bible takes it very seriously. If you are someone who sows discord, man, you need God's help. Because the Bible clearly says God does not like that. He abhors it. He can't stand disunity. If you're someone that has words on your lips that degradates, brings down, maybe you're those people that go and have pasta for lunch. Afterwards,
oh, pastor didn't get it right today.
Whatever you're saying, I'm secure enough in who I am to not really worry about that. But gee, I really feel for you. If you're doing that, I really feel for you. And it's not just about pastors. If you're going out to lunch or hanging out with people and sowing discord, talking down about people to other people, that's essentially gossip. Man, I really feel for you because it says, where there is unity, God will command a blessing. So what's the alternative? Disunity, what do you get? I don't even want to know. I don't want to touch that thing. I want blessing in my household and in my family. And so this is a challenge to everyone listening to me. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'm pressing some buttons today and someone's fidgeting in their seat a little bit more and thinking about the email they're going to write me. I don't know. But don't sow discord. Please catch yourself. Please stop it. Because it's an aberration to the Lord. And you will not be living the blessed life that you are called to live if you're doing this. In the same way, Jesus calls us to be in unity of fellowship with one another. Because where there is unity as a blessing, there's strength in unity. With disunity, there's weakness. I'm going to prove it to you. Who is the strongest woman in the room? That's what I want to know right now. The strongest woman, they're pointing to you, Deb. Anyone else want to step right up? Who thinks they're the strongest woman? I need a really strong woman. Like strong. I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, you need guns. Let's sort of stand right here. Look, they pointed you out first, Deb. I'm going to invite you up. You can come and do it. Look, you, there's no doubt you are, like, you're big. Like, you probably knocked me out. Deb, you come on up. Give her a hand. Now, the youth are at Youth Alive on Friday night. I know I've stolen this.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You don't need to tell anyone I did that. So here in my hand is like a, I don't know, what's that? Oversized toothpick.
No, it's
only one. It's more a skewer.
It's a skewer.
And by itself, this is one skewer. You just take that and stand out here so everyone can see you. Stand just right here. And like, can you just show them how strong you are to snap that knife? Oh, look at her. Guns at work.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Now, that's just one. I'm going to give you now. Let's give you five of them. Here, I'll take that. Let's see how strong you really are. There's five skewers all together in a bunch. Can you just show everyone again your guns and how strong you are? Come on. Yes! That's a good effort. So, one was pretty easy to break. Five was a little more challenging, but not really. It was pretty easy. What if I give you all of these? Can you help me now? Let me just take the broken ones. That's awesome. Thank you. Oh, look, there's... Does it tell me on here? This is a 200 pack.
Minus
6. So minus 6 is 194 skewers. If I can get them all out, this is proving challenging in itself. You can tell we didn't do a practice run of this. There's 196 skewers.
I'm pretty sure I can't even get my hand.
I reckon you can. Well, let's just do that. So I reckon you can. There. Can you just show everyone now your strength and snap that in up? Just try. Just humanly. No, it's not budging, is it? No, it's not budging. Give her a round of applause. Because of your feat of strength today, I'm presenting you, thanks to the art of reading, Psalm 37 table. What's it called?
Tea towel.
Tea towel. It's a table towel. It's a tea towel. That's tea towel. That's our gift to you. Have another day. Thanks for being here. Ellie, come here. Thank you. See if you can break it. No. Did you see what I did just there? One skewer, snap, gone. Five skewers, a little bit harder, but snap, gone. But together, 196 skewers. When we're in unity, there's strength. Don't be the one that splinters off and is easily snappable, because that's what will happen to your life. You'll get snapped. Be in unity with the body of Christ. Be in unity with what God is doing at Vineyard Christian Church. God planted Anita and I here 11 years ago, and we've learned stuff along the way. We're not perfect by any means, but I'd like to think we've learned one or two things on the way, and one of those things is that there's strength in unity. There's strength in numbers. And when you are with us, man, there's nothing we cannot achieve with God leading us and providing for us. There's nothing that he cannot do through a church that is in unity. But when there's little splinters, little people with their agendas and their ideas and their thoughts, and perhaps they differ a little bit to what Anita and I are bringing, and that's okay, because we're not expecting you to fall in line and be exactly like us. But we are expecting you to be in unity and not be, oh, well, I never get an opportunity to do this or that. No, they never opened the door for me to do this, so I'm going to speak ill of them. Woe to you and your house if you're doing that. Where there is unity, God provides a blessing. But where there is disunity, oh, I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to know what's going on in your house, because it ain't going to be good. In the same way, following the example of Jesus, in our relationships, not just with husbands and wives, but in our relationships, could we take a submissive approach? There's the essence of it again. Do we have to be right all the time? Do we have to get what we want all the time? The Bible is clear. Don't sin. Don't retaliate. Don't make threats. And trust yourself to your Father who judges justly. Can we let God do the judging? Can we just stop attacking one another? And I mean, I'm talking about this, and it's not, you're not all doing it, but I'm just, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Can we just have the right attitude in our relationships? Because if our relationships, not just husband and wife, that's awesome, but with each other, brothers and sisters in Christ, if those relationships are flourishing, there is nothing that our God will not be able to achieve in and through the life of this church. That kitchen is going to be a breeze.
Yeah.
No problem at all. Why? Because we're in unity and we're all together. But don't sow discord among the brethren. Because what happens is, you'll start splintering off, snap after snap. Ephesians 5:25 says, for husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. I don't know of any greater act of submission than to give your life, to die for someone. And that's the way husbands are to treat their wives. A husband is to submit to his wife, not in the sense of abdicating his responsibility of leadership, not at all. This is where misinterpretation sneaks in and there's bitterness and whatever. But in the sense of getting under her to bear her burdens, carry her cares, just as Christ carried your cares. He wants men to step up and carry the cares of their wives, carry her cares, meet her needs, sacrifice his own desires to fulfill her needs. That's the kind of man that God is calling to raise up and treat their wives. And if men aren't gentle with their wives, God takes that personally. If we're not gentle in our relationships with one another, God takes that personally. He says to husbands, if you're rough with your wife, don't expect me to give you anything. I won't be listening to you. I won't be blessing you. You'll be all on your own and it won't be a pleasant trip. Don't go down that road. Husbands, honor your wives. Treat them with respect. Wives, be submissive to your husbands in the same way that Christ was Later in the scripture it says, in the same way, husbands, you've got to live your life in a way towards your wife where you're not sinning, not retaliating, allowing God to be the vindicator. You've got to do the same thing. The Bible is very clear when you read it in context. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We need to say yes to Jesus. That's the only way we can overcome. If you're facing challenges in your relationship, and I'm not just talking husband and wives, relationships in the church, if there are issues that you have with someone, just let it go today. Let it go today. Allow God to be your vindicator. You don't need to now follow up and chase up and, I'm going to tell them a thing or two and put them in their place. There's no fruit in that. And there's no blessing in that, because where there is unity, God commands a blessing. If you're chasing after revenge, that's not unity. Now, if someone's wronged you, and that happens in life as well, allow God to be your vindicator. You didn't need to make it right. You don't have to carry that burden. Christ already carried that weight for you. So I want to encourage you today. Some people's lives are going to turn around today because you're simply going to let go of hurt and move on into all that God has for you. I think Steve said it similarly already today about moving forward, leaving your past behind. Don't dwell on what happened here. You know what? This is the place where mistakes were made, bad choices happened, people wronged you. And if you camp there, I guarantee you it will clutter your life and you will not be able to move on ahead into the glorious future that God has for you. Leave the past in the past. Do it today. And allow God to come and make a difference in your life. So if you're in the room and you're challenged by anything I've said today, you need Jesus. Because Jesus is who we become like. Jesus is who we desire to live our lives like. We want to live a sinless life. We want to not retaliate and not. We want to follow his example in everything that we do. And so I want to encourage you today. Open up your heart to Jesus. Open up your heart to him. Would you bow your heads? I'm going to pray. If you've been touched today and you need Jesus, very simple. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Pastor Jeremy, that's me. I need to let go of past hurts. I need to let go of recent hurt. Maybe something's happened recently. I need to allow you to come in again afresh so that I can, again, look forward to a glorious future and not be bound up by bitterness and hurt from things that have happened in the past. The past could be last week. I see many hands across the place. We're going to pray a prayer. We're going to invite Jesus in. And I'm going to believe today as you leave this place, your mindset will be shifted and changed, and that Jesus will come and bring peace in your heart where there was before hurt, bitterness, disappointment. So just pray this after me. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died on the cross for me. You took the penalty for my sin. All the times I've been angry at people, all the times I've been hurt, you take it all. You conquered sin and death. You rose again. And because of that, I'm free. I'm free from my burdens, free from my chains of offense. And I want to live a life that pleases you. So I call you my Lord. I believe that you rose from the dead, and I want to live my life for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we thank God for making a difference in our lives? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray a prayer over anyone, and I'm not going to ask for hands to be raised because it's personal for you. But if you've been impacted by relationships, even in this church, I pray that today is the turnaround. I pray that today is the turnaround. That you can move on, put it in the past, and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and be released from any bitterness and hurt. Because at the end of the day, if we stay bitter, if we stay unforgiving, if we stay all those things, oh, but Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said. You don't know how they treated me. No, I don't. But what I do know is that it's eating you up, and you've got to let it go. And if you don't let it go, you can't move into all that God has for you. Even more and greater, God's going to move in power in this church. He already is. What brilliant testimonies from our three ladies today. It's so encouraging. And I'm sure there's many more in the room. We just, for the sake of time, maybe another Sunday we'll do it again. But I want to encourage you, let go of that weight. It's not yours to carry. Jesus has gone before you and carried your weight. So let it go today. Could we all stand to our feet? I'm going to pray as we close. Jesus, I thank you for every single person. I'm praying specifically now for people that have been hurt through relationships, husband, wife, friendship, family, whatever it is. Lord, it's such a challenging weight that tries to capture our attention. But I pray today that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would do a quick work. Hearts would be mended. Souls would be made free again. Chains of offense are broken. Bitterness is gone. And Lord, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. You made our faith, but our faith. Thank you, Lord, for drawing again. But Lord, I pray that as we look to you, we would overcome these unnecessary weights that we carry, these burdens. Pray that they are loosed today in the house of God. Loosed today in Jesus' mighty name, that we could walk in freedom. The freedom that you paid for us, Lord. On the cross when you died on Calvary, you paid for our freedom. We receive it today. Father God, come and make a difference in our lives as we fix our eyes on you. Bitterness and hurt are gone in the name of Jesus. We want to be new. We want to be new creations that you've called us to be. And so, Lord, release us from that burden right now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's give him praise and thank you. Thank you, Jesus.